While the turmoil in Washington continues surrounding the fire of FBI Director James Comey last week, President Trump is set to meet with President Erdogan of Turkey at the White House on Tuesday. Ties between the U.S. and Turkey have deteriorated sharply since the coup attempt in Turkey last summer. And for more on this and a check into the other top international stories we'll be watching for this week, I'm joined now by our colleague at the BBC, Poona Gudusi. And Poona, what do you think the two presidents are each hoping to get out of this visit?
Plenty, but let's see if they will be successful. There are several issues, if you want, we can call them bones of contention between the two countries currently. One of them is U.S.'s support for the Kurdish fighters in Syria and Iraq, and Turkey's recent attack on them. Last month, Turkey carried out airstrikes in northern Iraq and Syria, which targeted the PKK and YPG groups of the Kurdish fighters. Turkey says they're a terrorist and a separatist group. The attack was to prevent them from setting up a base or smuggling weapons and explosives, which they could potentially use for attacks inside Turkey, as Turkey says. And as President Erdogan himself said, the strike was to what he called drain the swamp.
If we fail, they will keep on imposing a clear and a present danger and a threat upon Turkey. We need to dry the swamp in order to get rid of the mosquitoes. That's why we have to take these concrete steps forward. This is an operation that we've shared with our American friends, with our Russian friends. And similarly, we are sharing the information with the administration in the northern part of Iraq.
But this has caused dismay and concern in America, of course, these strikes. The U.S. sees the Kurdish fighters as an ally in their fight against IS and Iraq and Syria, and they've even armed them to this purpose, an issue that has infuriated Turkey itself. Turkey is a NATO ally of the U.S., of course, and part of the U.S.-led coalition fighting the IS currently. But it has recently been moving closer to Russia and Iran, you could say.
So this Friday, the Iranians go to the polls in a presidential election. So fill us in. Who are the main candidates in this race? What are the directions they're each proposing for the future of the country?
Yes, it's President Hassan Rouhani, the current president, the incumbent, as you know. He has a good chance. He's ahead in the polls, but his re-election is by no means a certainty, mostly because of his failure to deliver the promised economic progress in the country after the lifting of some of the sanctions following the 2015 deal to curb Iran's nuclear program, what they call the JCPOA, which America was part of. Some see Mr. Rouhani as only hope for reform. Others see him as just another moderate pragmatist who's still part of the establishment. His main rival currently is one conservative cleric called Ebrahim Raisi. He's considered definitely a protege of the supreme leader, definitely a part of the establishment. Some even say he's rehearsing to be the next supreme leader. That's why he's running. The other main conservative rival he did have just until today was the mayor of Tehran, Ghalibaf. He withdrew just a few hours ago today and asked his supporters to vote for the other conservative, Mr. Raisi. There are three other candidates. None of them are considered important or threat enough to the incumbent. But the main issues that are at stake at this election are the economy, unemployment, inflation, infrastructure, and industry is in really bad shape. Mismanagement, corruption is issues that have been discussed in the presidential debates on TV every week. The second issue is better relations with the West, where the difference between the candidates becomes really obvious and evident, is that the moderates are keen to open up and come out of this isolation. The hardliners or the conservatives are more insular and suspicious of the West in general.
All right, and last up is Syria. United Nations mediator Staffan de Mistura holds peace talks on Tuesday between the Syrian government and opposition. So what are the chances, Poona, for significant de-escalation in violence and real inclusive talks?
Yes, the UN Special Envoy Staffan de Mistura is holding peace talks between the Syrian government and opposition. It starts on Tuesday, maybe goes on for 3 days if there are no more walkouts. Mr. de Mistura is hoping that the recent agreement that was reached last week in Astana in Kazakhstan, mainly without the UN presence, but among Russia, Iran and Turkey, will work and will be productive to set up de-escalation zones in Syria and be implemented in full. Generally, this is what the UN hopes for these talks, but I must quickly add that they also have a million questions about the deal which was struck pretty much in their absence in Astana last week. Mm-hmm. Here's what the advisor to UN Special Envoy for Syria, Jan Egeland, said about it.
Russia and Turkey and Iran explained to us that they will work very openly, proactively with the United Nations and with humanitarian partners to implement this agreement. We do have a million questions and concerns, but I think we don't have the luxury that some have of this distant cynicism and saying it will fail. We need this to succeed.
These reservations Mr. Egelan is mentioning are partly because, although there seems to be a reduction in the fighting, but the movement of aid convoys remains almost totally stalled still, and there's still the exchange and release of detainees from both sides that needs to be fully negotiated and delivered.
That's the BBC's Poona Gadusi. Poona, thanks so much as always.
Pleasure.